This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead End Sports, recorded at Dead End Studios here in Atlanta, Georgia.
At Dead End Sports,
here in Atlanta, Georgia. FIFO would not be in attendance tonight. Dealing with some personal matters, so we're praying for you, bro. So we're here if you need us. But joining us as usual, it's BZ430.
What up, though? What up, though?
And Nicky Ducey.
Yeah. It'll flow more.
AKA Mr. Disrespect, AKA Nicky Ducey of the No Disrespect podcast and Frames Per Second podcast. So anyway, man, we already know the big news of the weekend. First of all, thanks for subscribing. We're doing this on YouTube again this week. I kind of liked the reaction last week. So I'm going to try it again. I got the right title this time. You know, the last one was from the All-Star game.
Yeah,
so it was from the All-Star game. So shout out to Modest Media who hit us up. It was like, yo, the title's wrong. I didn't see it until after the show, but, you know. But anyway, so thank you for subscribing and sharing the show. Big news of the week, man. Man, I'm going to just hand it off to B.
I was about to say, this is your segment right now.
This you all day.
I think I know where
your
you're
boys,
going.
Your boys.
You know where you're going at this.
The Spartans.
Yes.
This is
Sparta. Yes. My damn Michigan State Spartans. Tom Izzo and company took down the overall number one seed in the Big Dance, Duke Blue Devils. I am so freaky. I was on the edge of my seat that whole Sunday. It was crazy. It was a crazy game. Like, it was down to the wire. The fact that you got three guys on this Duke squad that's pretty much going to go top five between Cam Reddish, Zion, and RJ. Tom Izzo took a bunch of guys that nobody in the draft, nobody is talking about. Nope. Or nobody is like, hey, you need to get this guy. You need to get this guy.
Yep.
A bunch of no names, damn near nobodies for, like, the casual college basketball fan that don't nobody know about. He took these guys, and they beat Duke. I don't know if Tom Izzo has been watching on the tape on the previous games Duke had, where it was like they kind of got off easy with the missed layups and missed opportunities for the other teams. I don't know if he's been studying the defenses on that and exposed it, but, man, Tom Izzo did a great job. Like, it was like every time when Duke made a run, Michigan State responded right back with a run. They didn't panic. They didn't do that. They
Spurs,
wasn't
like
– Yeah. They didn't panic. They wasn't like, oh, this is the mighty Duke, so we supposed to lay down. They made a run, Michigan State. Every time when Duke did something where you like, oh, man, I don't know, Michigan State just kept their composure and just stayed on course, man. I loved it. And one thing I noticed before you go, one thing I noticed, and even though I haven't watched that many Duke games that much this season, but I noticed, and they better get this right when they get into the league, RJ and Zion don't have a right. That was what
I was going to ask you. I was
that
like,
can get exposed quick in the NBA.
How good is this Duke team that we've been, you know, applauding and, you know, watching and just, you know, in awe of? Because you mentioned there's been a few games before even this one where it was just like you could tell the team was just laying down, or you could tell the team just like y'all didn't put y'all foots on their neck.
Yeah.
And Michigan when State you did. See Tom Izzo, I honestly think he outcoached Coach K.
He did.
Especially in the second half when it seemed like Coach K wasn't even making any type of adjustment. He was just letting these boys play. And I really feel like we talked about this last episode, Cam Reddish being the third option, not being utilized or getting any plays set for him. He ain't get a damn thing.
Nothing.
And especially in the second half, because the first half was like, all right, RJ and Zion, they doing their thing. Right. But we still got top three for a reason.
Right.
And that's my main thing. That's one of my main concerns. Like, he's kind of reduced some of their draft stock because of how he coaches them. Mm. Like, if it's all about Zion, then it's all about Zion. And even when Zion was out, it was like you didn't really see the kind of development you would hope from the other two Cavs.
Yeah. And so, I think the guard play, which is also important in the tournament, Winston, he outplayed Jones. Like, he was calm. He was poised throughout the whole game. you know, Jones tried to pressure him a lot, but Winston was just so
and
poised.
He, the size thing was a factor, too, because there was sometimes Jones actually played good D, but he was like, if he was 2 inches taller, he would have got a block or something.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Dude just kept rising over him like, I could take him regardless.
I was like, man, that was so crazy how he was just – I was really amazed by the poise. And I think that goes in – and I always said this before about – you know, college teams that don't have the one and done and the superstar, you know, looking squad. Sometimes when you playing against juniors, sophomores, and seniors, that can make
that
a difference.
Going
on. Yeah, that experience, it makes a difference opposed to these guys that's one and done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Zion, they probably think about the NBA anyway. So it's like, okay, well, we lost this.
This tournament is just the icing.
Right, it's just the icing. Yeah. But these the guys that's on the Michigan States and the Texas Techs and all them, they like, look, this is I've been here for 3 years. This is the furthest we're getting, and I want to
win
that
ship. And the spotlight on us because we playing y'all.
Exactly. Yeah, because we playing y'all. So we want to show them that, you know what, this Duke squad ain't really all that to what y'all say. So, like, shout out to Tom Izzo and the rest of the Spartans for not backing down. Like, and Izzo, I don't know what it is about March, like late season Izzo. He always get those boys playing. Like, he never really have, like, those sexy NBA draft picks on his teams. Like, he always just got, like, good to great or average to good guys, and he just coach them up. Like,
yeah, he's got the solid role players.
Yeah,
that,
he got. Yeah, and he knows how to coach them. Like he know, and they listen. Like every players he had, whether they were knuckleheads or not, they always listen to Tom Izzo and they respect him. So, shout out to my Spartans, man. I hope we can take it, man. That Texas Tech matchup gonna be tough, but I hope we can. Pull it through and get this shit, man. I want Tom Izzo to get a second one.
What was your takeaways from the game?
Well, when we were sitting here recording Sunday, we were talking before the game. We was like, I think they're gonna get him. I think Mitch State gonna get him.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Sure
So and I picked them to beat Duke in my bracket. So
really,
right now, yeah. So right now, I'm set to finish second. The highest score possible score I can get is 78. There's somebody above me that can get 79. So, by the way, you're looking at the reigning fantasy basketball champion for 2019. Just wanted to put that out.
we ain't trying to hear all that. Yeah, my bracket's been busted. Yeah, it's a wrap.
Yeah, I know those people out there had Duke and North Carolina in the finals.
That's what I had.
Did you hear that?
I have Villanova and Duke. Yeah, I have Villanova.
Dang.
I have Michigan State and...
You had Tennessee?
I had Tennessee going far, but not Tennessee. I think it was North Carolina.
I don't know if I ever asked you this question, B, when it comes to Michigan's allegiance to certain universities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I have a friend who's from Detroit as well, and he says he loves Michigan football, but he loves Michigan State basketball.
That's me.
Like, I didn't know if it was like, nah, you can't be wishy-washy like that.
I mean, it's Detroiters and Michigans that kind of be like, no, if you just with one, you got to stay with one. But, yeah, I've always been like that my entire life. Like, the only time I rooted for Michigan basketball, of course, was during the Fab Five era. That was it. Like, but everybody, the entire state of Michigan was
the whole country
Fab
was
Five.
Right.
Yeah, back at that time. Like, you had Michigan State alumni that was, like, cheering for Michigan during the Fab Five era,
really?
Which was, like, unheard of. You know, you never see, like, a Michigan State graduate repping Michigan. But that was the only time – you saw, like, the entire Michigan, the state of Michigan was behind Fab Five. Like, everybody. But, yeah, I've always been like that. Like, I've been Michigan State basketball, like, my whole life, and I've been Michigan football, like, my whole life. So, yeah.
But, you know, I think it's something you said, B. It came down to experience. Like, sophomores, juniors, seniors versus one and done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what it was. So, even though they had survived earlier close games, you know, they were in another one. It was like, how many times are you going to continue to push your luck?
Right.
And
right.
How far can talent take you?
Exactly. Like, and to be honest, I slightly thought they had it because Duke actually ramped up the pressure on them a lot.
They did. They made some clutch threes. Like,
yeah.
I think as much as I'm critical as far as their development throughout the season, they did show up nonetheless.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably the best game of the whole tournament. Like, I don't think there's going to be any other game that's as good as that one.
Yeah, so, and they forced a lot of Michigan State turnovers. Duke went on that 7-0 run. I think they were up four, something like that. And then I was like, damn, man, I don't know if they can get a shot. But then Cassius Winston came down, dribble penetration, went up for one of those little funky push shot layups, and then hit the assist the old boy coming from, and then I think he with the alley. So that got him within two, and then they forced a missed shot. Then they got the ball, called the timeout, and I was like, man. I was trying to figure out what they were going to do, but Izzo called a great play out of that timeout for Goins to hit that three.
Yeah.
He was 1 for 7 before he hit that shot. He finished 2 for 8, and he nailed it. And at that point, it was just like
– it's fate.
You were just holding on, you know, because, I had a feeling. I was like, man, dude going to get something lucky. Something going to happen. And then when the ball went out of bounds – and it went off the Michigan State player. I'm like, oh, here they go. They're going to survive and win by one again. Nah, R.J. Barrett went up there and choked.
And that's what I was saying, like, when it comes to him and, like, how he's supposed to, like, who he fits with. I guess that's all I've really been thinking about. What player fits with who on this Duke team? I can see Ken with Atlanta. I can see Zion anywhere.
Yeah.
R.J. is, like, there's only, like, as far as the teams that are picking Cleveland. Top 5, it seems like it's just only Cleveland.
Yeah, it's probably be Cleveland. And you know they have the talent, and I think the NBA they'll be able to spread their wings a little bit more. And I think you kind of said it, like, they're so constrained in college. Mm-hmm. There's only so much they can really do, and then you got three. And Cam wasn't that third wheel. Something happened to him in the game prior against Virginia Tech or somebody. I forget. Or Florida. Who did Duke play before?
I think Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech?
You talking about? No,
Florida State.
Florida
State. He missed that game, so something happened there.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened.
Zion missed the game.
No, Cam Reddish did. Remember?
Did he get injured?
They said he was injured.
Oh, I don't remember Cam Reddish missing the game.
And then he played in this game. Coach K didn't even use any of his bench. He legit really only had those three guys, and that's it. And it was Zion, and it was sadly almost everybody else. It felt. Because at the end of the game, we all knew they were going to go to Zion, and we all knew which direction he was going to go be. Left.
Yep.
That's it. They all went left. So, RJ hit a big three. Zion hit a big bucket, but
yeah, and I think I don't know if did y'all hear those Gilbert Arenas comments about Zion.
No, I meant I was trying to listen to it, but I was.
He basically was like saying like, this dude, y'all praising this dude, like he gonna be one of the greats, and this dude is really just Blake Griffin. Like, he just, like, he's not really that fundamentally sound. Like, what does he really do that's great? And he went on, he said some more other stuff that people, you know, some people called him a hater and stuff like that. But most of the time, he was saying was like, really, like, what does Zion really do that's great outside of his athleticism?
We've asked people that, you know, throughout this college season, and, he couldn't really give us a clear answer, but I think the only thing he was saying is that he would really
potential,
his ability, his athleticism, his skill set we haven't seen, but it's not fully developed because he's bigger, faster, quicker than everybody else he's on the court with.
Mm-hmm.
So in the NBA, shit, when you got Blake Griffin who can still jump just like you, even though he hurt his knee, that's sad.
I know he's out for the season. He out for the season?
Yeah, man.
Damn.
And I think one of the things, like potential, like in the NBA, you'll start working on those things. So you'll start developing the weak areas of your game. So if you do that at an accelerated pace coupled with everything else you have, then you can be a superstar.
But we always – and this is my – and this is maybe bringing another conversation into it, but we always just be like, oh, they'll get it in the NBA. Like the NBA is – it's 24/7 basketball. You got training staff. You got medical staff. Like you got everything catered to you developing. But how many of these kids really develop in the NBA? Like, I've only seen the last one I really remember that's developed into something like a solid player to a star was Jimmy Butler.
Oh yeah, but he was
Draymond, maybe even CJ McCollum. But it's like it's very like it's like once every
but
3 years.
They had to in order to survive.
Exactly. And that's based off of the dog in them to like I need to get better. I want to do better. But that's why I was suggesting, like, with, you know, with now it's about to be none and dones, you know, because they're going to reverse it back to 18 probably time when, you know, LeBron James' son is 18. It's like, where are these kids going to really get developed at? If it's not on the court, if Coach K can't coach you up, then who can?
Oh, is that why your dad was calling you because of the 2020? Westbrook had a 2020 night.
He did?
I tell you, he calls me whenever it's thick like this. He calls me. Yeah.
Look at it. 20-20-20 night.
Yeah, we got the game on right now. We recording right now. That's why I couldn't pick up when you called me. But yeah, I'm watching.
Okay.
It was funny because when we caught the score, me and Ken, I was telling Ken like, man, he might get a 20-20-20 night, and damn, he ended up doing it. That's crazy.
Yeah, only him and Will Chandler ever did that.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Only him and Will Chandler, the only player
20 points, ever had a 20 21 league. Assists, and 20 rebounds.
Yeah, that's why you praise Will Chamberlain. You praise him, though. You definitely praise him.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I'll talk to you.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Man. Damn. V's dad is a basketball junkie. This man know it all. He's seen them all play. He be talking about players I never even heard of. He was like, "Oh man, yeah, he was a monster." Like, what was the guy, Alvin Hayes or somebody like that?
Yeah, Alvin Hayes. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Alvin Hayes. Never heard of him.
Yeah,
I probably have seen his name before, but I don't hear people talk about him.
He
as
was in the greatest 50 players when they did the greatest 50 players of all time in '96. He was on that list.
Alvin Hayes was.
Mm-hmm. He was on that list.
He was.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, I missed that. Okay, yeah. But wow, 20-20-20, man. That is ridiculous. Why didn't he have this? I had Westbrook on my fantasy team. Why couldn't he have done this one? last week.
Will he be remembered?
Yes.
As fine, because right now he's not considered one of the top three point guards in the league, right? Currently,
it's Westbrook.
Yeah. Who is it? Curry.
Curry,
did you say Kyrie,
and there's someone else.
Dame there. Lillard,
no, somebody else.
They still winning, Nick.
Who else was it? It was another.
What you mean, Curry, Kyrie? You could probably say Westbrook or Dame Lillard. Like that's
okay.
That's
yeah.
Like the holy grail.
I thought
grail
there was somebody else. Yeah,
you
I thought
throw CP3 in there. Is CP3
nah,
still
what,
in there?
Nah, he wasn't. Not top three. Like, I'm just talking about like, yeah. The first three names you think yeah. of. Okay, so I guess he is. But he's not respected as that, right?
Who, Westbrook is?
Yeah, it's just like because he.
By who?
Well, I won't even say. I'm not going to blame the media. Because I think it's even, like, even some of the fans would be like, yeah, he's good. And, like,
this man's done something that a lot of people, including my dad, was never thought it wasn't going to happen again. It was average triple-double. That's crazy, man.
And he's going to do it three times in a row.
That's crazy.
And he had a 20-20-20 night.
That's crazy.
I think what it is that it really depends on who you're talking to.
It does.
So if you're talking to the three of us, I'm including FIFO because he's not here, or the basketball guys that respect and appreciate the game, Westbrook would be remembered. If you're talking to NBA Twitter, kill it.
Because they don't care if you ain't got no rings.
They don't care. Yeah, exactly. They're driven mostly by the media narrative of other people on NBA Twitter. So they may be the casual of the casual gamers. So they'll probably go, when you say, man, Westbrook is a dog, or you never win a championship, okay, that's what you're going to come back with?
Will he be remembered as like a top five point guard?
Ever?
Yeah.
I think so. Probably not top five ever, but he will be one of the top.
I think he probably has to be in top five ever, right?
Yeah, I think he'll be one.
You
think so? Because, what, like you said, what he since Wilt Chamberlain?
I know, that's crazy.
That was a lot of great, like, okay, so let's try to walk.
Freaking
so
crazy.
We already know Magic is one.
Magic is one. Is Stockton?
Isaiah.
Stockton numbers, you can't argue that. Dog, his assist.
That's what I'm saying, the assist alone.
Did you see Chris Paul? Like, when Chris Paul ranked, I think he had just moved past Isaiah Thomas. And when they asked him, they were like, yeah, so how close do you think you are to Stockton? So when they told him Stockton total assists, he was like, Chris Paul was like, ain't nobody getting that. He wanted to say shit. But yeah. He was on TV like, man, ain't nobody getting that. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's insane. That is insane. So, I mean, his numbers, because I think he got the most steals in as a point guard and the most assists as a point guard.
I think I know he had the assists. I know he was good defensively with the steals.
I mean, I can't argue Stockton just based off of his individual numbers. Me personally, I probably wouldn't put him in there just because it's just who I like.
Yeah.
I got to respect Stockton numbers. I mean,
you said Magic.
We know Magic.
Isaiah.
People would probably put Stockton just J-Kidd. I put J-Kidd over John Stockton because I like J-Kidd. I love J-Kidd.
J-Kidd top five all time. Sometimes I gotta say the sentence to make it seem like if it, yeah. it does it fit.
J-Kidd was a monster.
Man, he was.
He dominated the game without even scoring. That's crazy.
But top five. Would Curry be is Curry on the list now?
Curry might have to be on the list
now?
Too. He might have to be on the list. Chris Broussard already talking about he might put him over Isaiah. I know that might be blasphemous to you.
That's crazy.
that's blasphemous
soon.
To me.
That's still soon, man. Now let's see.
Because he does have a lot of basketball left in him too.
Yeah, he do. That's what I'm saying. Let's see. Let's wait till after his career. Is it over.
Will he get in there if like post KD, right?
Yeah.
And they get another ring.
Ooh.
I think context matters, man. And the reason why
I said post KD.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
It depends on how he does it. Because Isaiah did it. It was Isaiah and it was
everybody
but,
else.
But everybody always say this is Steph's team. Like even though KD there, he still
Isaiah didn't have a Durant. He didn't have
He did not.
Robin was like
Robin
a
was probably a Draymond.
But Joe D wasn't like shooter.
Like Clay,
but he had the other intangibles that probably some stuff that Clay don't have. But
so
Isaiah carry
so
the,
right now,
carry the team, yeah.
So the names floating around right now, we got Magic,
Zeke. You can say
Stockton
Kidd. What about Gary Payton? No,
nah.
Tiny Archibald.
I forgot about him. He was
a
monster.
I'm just going. Yeah, my dad was high on him.
What about Kuzi?
He didn't have no. He had no left.
Oh, what about What about Jerry West?
Jerry West is a shooting guard.
Yeah.
He was shooting guard?
Yeah,
okay.
Shooting guard. Tiny Archibald only, and my dad would throw him out there because he did something that no point guard has done. And that's for a season, led the league in assists per game and in points per game. No point guard has never done that.
Really? Oh, shit, damn.
And he was like 6'1". You know what I'm saying? Going up against, 7-footers and stuff. Led the league in points per game and assists per game.
All right, let me see. We're not totally.
I know,
got
right?
Yeah, we got off track. I was just
that's
saying.
That's how I get, though, man.
No, I was just saying.
No, because I'm curious now, like, because I think this is an interesting.
Because some new guys have to be in there, right? We established that.
Would you think,
Westbrook and Steph, as far as new guys, that's what I consider new. Kyrie, I wouldn't put in there.
Put him in there?
Nah, because okay.
I'm just throwing names. I'm
not putting him in there because I'm thinking about doing a quick highlight of your accomplishments and like. Right now, Kyrie, he doesn't have any. The only standout moment was a shot, and then you could equate. Well, he wouldn't have gotten there without LeBron, and
that's why I told you switch Dame and put him on that LeBron on that Cavs. Dame is taking that 3-point shot too.
Is he making it though?
Yes, because he made it in playoffs before.
He's gonna make it. You can change him out
like him. And
so
Kyrie
you think have Dame and Kyrie at the same level? They the same player to you, basically.
Because I feel if Dame was on that Cavs squad and Kyrie was on Portland, it'd be the same results. I think you'll still be seeing this like same type of stat line.
Okay, Dame, I'm not saying
same thing you just said about Kyrie. We'll be saying the same thing about Dame. He probably wouldn't have had that if it weren't for Bron. Like, if Bron was that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, because he would be the second to Bron.
Yeah.
Just like how Kyrie was, so. But Dame will take that shot.
I'm not saying he's going to take the shot.
If it's 3 seconds left, he's saying, Bron, give me the ball. Like,
yeah.
Just like Kyrie, give me the ball.
I think Kyrie's just a better shooter. That's why I was saying that. Not by much, but I would say, I just trust Kyrie
in
the clutch.
I've seen Dane come step straight out the locker room and shoot the three. Like, he comes straight out and just.
Yeah, he got range
like
that, too.
He got range, man. Like, Dame got it.
They don't show him a lot.
Yeah.
That's really it. Like,
I would throw.
Because he play on the West Coast.
You could probably, if you're thinking, like, all time, CP3 got to be up there. Like,
yeah, he'll
be
up there.
Him.
I don't know if he's top five. I would definitely give him top 10.
And see, this dude, I'm about to throw this name out there. That's because I love him because he's so underrated, but I love him. Rod Strickland.
I'm trying to
pull him up.
I think right now we got, a solid 3 or 4, right, with Magic, Zeke.
Stockton and Kidd.
So NBA.com, they got Westbrook. This was last year. They got him 9th. On their all time in NBA history,
who's above them?
They got Kuzi over him. Please don't tell me they got Kuzi over him.
Nah, it was Nash was 8.
Nash?
No, not Ash. Nash, but Stockton was 8.
Okay.
Nash is 7th.
Over Stockton?
Yeah, and I wouldn't give him. I wouldn't.
Jerry West is sixth. They got him as a point guard.
Oh, Jerry West is shooting.
But then they say the first sentence is, was West a point guard or shooting guard?
Right. Because we
that's why I was, yeah. I always
throw Iverson in there at that point. But see, like, he was a point guard by height. But
that's what I was going to ask you. Is he point guard by position or by height?
But, I mean, they always list him as a two guard because he was scoring. Like, Iverson wasn't pushing that ball up. Eric Snow was the point guard.
He had nobody else to score on that team.
Eric Snow, you know, Iverson was always the off guard.
Jason Kidd is fifth.
Okay.
Zeke, four.
Four, okay. Three.
Okay, well, geez. Oscar Robertson is third.
See, I always looked at him as like a combo guard, like how D-Wade was. Like, point and two guard.
Mm-hmm.
My dad would say the same thing. My dad don't look at him as a point guard.
Curry.
Curry's number two?
Yeah.
So Magic number one?
We already know Magic number one.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. I know Curry. Curry got to be up there. It's because if you think about
he's changed the game.
He literally
whether you hate it or not.
Yeah.
He's changed. I'm talking about just as far as the way people play now. Like all these three, everybody want to shoot threes.
Took the big man
everybody
out.
Everybody want to shoot threes now. You're like, when you see Trae Young, what's the first thing people mention?
They're talking about Steph Curry. This fool going to be number one.
He might.
Curry will never be.
I'm just saying he might. He's already gonna have what, four rings at the end of this run, right?
I mean, he's transcending that.
He could get if he gets
over Magic.
If he gets if he gets one or two more, he'll have six rings.
Post KD,
you think? Post KD, I think he can get one or two
because you already know he's smashing that 3-point record.
Okay,
he's smashing that. And Ray Allen, man, would say bye bye to that.
And if they keep Clay and Draymond, I mean Clay and Cousins, that's still a good squad.
Still a squad, yeah.
And you got more money now to go get some free agents and all that stuff.
I can't put him over Magic, man.
If he gets five rings, what?
Not right now.
If he gets five,
it's not about the rings. It's not about the rings.
It's about nostalgia for you.
Because think about nostalgia. It like this though. Look at how many moments like Steph Curry kind of shrunk in like NBA Finals.
I give you that.
You know what I'm saying?
He's never been an NBA. He's never been Finals MVP.
Look at moments he kind of shrunk, and you know, like I said, that the series that when Bron and them came back, like and it's funny the media wasn't really talking about that. Like Steph Curry shrunk.
The streets was talking about it more than the media.
True, but like yeah, because like Steph Curry went on a milk carton when Bron and them was coming back from that 3-1 deficit. So. You would, even though Isaiah Thomas, not in the finals, but Isaiah Thomas made some bonehead moves before throughout his playoff career. But when it came to NBA Finals, you knew what Zeke was going to bring,
mm-hmm.
one leg or not. You knew what Zeke was going to bring, man. And like Curry hasn't shown me that yet. Curry showed me some great flashes through in playoffs and stuff, but in the finals, it's like, dude, sometimes this dude shrunk in a lot of moments. And not since KD here. KD hitting big shots, you know what I'm saying? To hit the big shot over LeBron.
Yeah, he ain't got new shit. He just got to let KD do him.
But he's still balling, though, and Curry not. So, I don't know.
So, I think Russ is close. Because I don't agree with him being ninth. I would definitely take him over
Steve Nash. Yeah.
And probably over Stockton, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I get, even though I lose efficiency,
you get hard working, you get all around.
I get everything else. And again, like you know, B said, it depends on the makeup of your team and what you prefer as a coach GM. Mm-hmm. Who else was on that?
Jerry West, Oscar Robertson.
Yeah, I'll take him over Jerry West because I think Jerry West is a shooting guard, so he out.
Same thing with Oscar, too. I'm surprised they got too. Oscar at point guard, but I mean.
So that's
two. My dad
two.
Did say he played.
I mean, if he getting all them assists, they're going to say,
My dad said he if he needed to, Oscar can play the point. But he was naturally a shooting guard at height because he was the first, at that time, he was the first, like, big guard. Like, mm-hmm. big guard. Like a Jason Kidd type of, you know, like he was the first big guard at that time. So
we throw them two out based on our preferences and or where we put them. Then that's two spots. So, you know, so now we're down to seven. So he's close. Like, because then all of a sudden now we're – at least I'm moving him above
and we throwing
Nash
CP3 in there too because that I don't think that list has CP3 in there.
Nah, yep. So
and if he get
he's
and
probably
if,
is at least six.
If he somehow some way gets a title for OKC, he gotta be like top
Ooh,
three.
If he gets a title for him,
yeah.
Ooh, man, that would be crazy.
He gotta be top That'd three.
Be crazy,
man.
Man,
that
be
would
crazy.
Be crazy. But anyway,
back to the college.
but But yeah, man, just to kind of wrap that up. So it was a great game. I really enjoyed it. And I think their inexperience hurt him. Trey Jones hurt him. And Cam Reddish, man, we heaped so much praise on him early, and I don't know what's going on with that brother, but
I think it's getting to him. I think the fact that he don't get he was one of the top ones in the country, right? Mm-hmm. And thinking about the confidence of like, oh, I'm about to play with Duke, I'm about to play with these guys. Like, it's like we all about to eat. And then you really start, I guess you get your first glimpse of what this professional life is like, that not everybody is equal, treated equal at least.
Right.
And if you don't demand the ball, or if you're not as dominant as these other players, like visually, like the eye test, then they're going to be like, all right, well, you just stand in the corner and do what you, if you get it, you get it.
Because I think they had, I think R.J. Barrett at one point was ranked the best NBA prospect.
The start of season, people were kind of like debating whether it's Zion or R.J. And then obviously as the season went, the first month, the season, everybody, oh, yes, Zion.
Kind of going back to what you were saying, what is he good at? We don't really know. He's just a freak, right? And I think that's why R.J. was ranked ahead of him, because R.J. had a skill set. Zion is just box office. And that's what people like, and that's what people are attracted to, and mm-hmm. that's why he became number one. Just about the raw feats of athleticism and everything else he's doing on the court, mm-hmm. people are infatuated with that type of stuff. That's why, you know, they love what LeBron do, because it's like, how's a human able to do that? Speaking of, just another aside. So I think I saw somewhere that if L.A. would have lost more games, they would have actually been in the running to get a top five pick, to get a top pick, the number one pick, based on the way they did the
Really?
Mm. Yep.
How many games? Do you know how many games or like an estimate?
Like five or six, I think.
Really?
Yep. If they would have lost like five or six more games, like the games they've been winning lately, they screwing up just like the Hawks.
That mean they should have shut down Brian sooner.
They probably should have, but they was winning games without him. Like, I don't know what's gotten into that team now, but teams are shut.
I'm about to say, it's the last month of the season.
So they could have had, if it could have been what they do back in the day, the golden envelope, they could have did the frozen envelope and got L.A. Zion and LeBron.
Man, if the best thing Adam said, when David Stern did this for the Knicks back in the day, keep on tradition, Adam. So call that boy's name when New York's number is up. Because we need him, because right now this is not looking good for anybody coming to New York, especially with this. Nah. All the mess going on. We probably gonna touch on, but
yeah. So, the other surprising team was Auburn. They upset Kentucky, and I didn't see that coming at all.
Nah, I didn't either.
A football school, man. Yeah. Like, it'd be so amazing when I see a football school like making runs in the tournament, man. Like, who would have thought that? Like, I'm like, damn. Like, I think the coach that coached them, he coached at Tennessee. I can't remember his name.
Bruce Pearl.
Yeah, Bruce Pearl. Yeah.
He coaches them. So, I mean, looking at that, it's like, okay, that's kind of not surprising.
Because he can coach.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, when I saw that, when I was looking, I'm like, oh, he's coaching them. I said, okay,
he's been like he's like a sleeper coach. Like, people forgot about how good he is.
And look what he's doing to a football school. Exactly. A school that pretty much spend most of their money in recruiting on football. So, it's like, man, and that's another thing, man, where you get those upper, you know, the seniors, the juniors playing together and stuff. Sometimes that helps, man. Like,
that chemistry, it helps. That experience.
Some people, that's why you used to see all these little, like, Northern Iowas and all that stuff, like, make runs, because these guys was four-year seniors that have been playing together, you know, all this time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that Auburn, that's going to be a good game, man, that Auburn and Virginia. I hope it is. I hope it ends up being a good game, because, I hope we be in for a close. I hope both of these games are, like, edge of our seat close.
And that's the thing, I like the underdog story, but at the same time, they usually only have one in them. Like, they usually only got one. No, I mean, like, they only got one good game.
Oh, I got you.
And then after that, it'd be like, it's a wash. Exactly. Yeah.
But that's one thing I like about this Final Four is, like, I think we're going to finally, with the exception of, Coach K, we get some new, Tom Izzo, we get, like, some new blood that can possibly win
a new Brad Stevens or what was his name? Shackham?
I mean, like, just somebody that just won a ship. Yeah. Like, someone that can win a ship, like, for the first time. Like, I'm glad looking at this Final Four. It's not like, Kansas, Kentucky, you know. Like, it's like some new blood in there that you're seeing. Like, you don't see a Texas Tech. You don't see a Auburn in the Final Four in basketball. You know what I'm saying? So, I think looking at that Final Four, like I said, Michigan, Michigan State, maybe Virginia. It's like, okay, but even Virginia, it's not like we've seen them in Final Four all the time. So I like
not Tony Bennett.
That's what I'm saying. I like the fact that you see like some new blood in there, some new teams. So I like it. I love that we got a different Final Four like this.
So who do you think gonna win it?
Michigan State. Michigan State
he talked all that shit about the Swasco. The big program going with it.
But I want Tom Izzo to get his second one, man.
I do too, man.
I want him to get his second one because it's like
he only got one.
He got one. That's from Team Cleese and Mo Peterson them in 2000.
Damn,
and he's been to the Final Four. I think since then he's been to the Final Four like three times.
Yeah, I was gonna say at least.
I didn't
know
he was 1-11 against Duke or Coach K.
Yeah, man.
Was this his first win?
No, his second win.
Second win,
All time or just in the tournament?
All time, yeah. I mean, every time he go against him, whether it's regular season or in the tournament.
Damn.
But Tom Izzo love it, though. Like, because whenever they have a out-of-conference schedule, a lot of times Tom Izzo wants to play, like, the Dukes and the Kansas and the Kentuckys. He like, I want to make sure my guys are battle-tested. Yeah. So, like, if we have that early season battle-tested, I want them guys to know, like, look, this is what we're going to face possibly in March and April. So I want us to play the Dukes. Let us play them Kansas. If they rank number one, if they preseason rank number one or whatever, let us play them. Like, Tom Izzo, he ain't scared of that. Like, he wants his guys to go up against the stiff non-conference competition. So I commend it, man. I love it. But, yeah, I hope Michigan State do it. It's my squad, man. I can't not root for my squad. They in the Final Four, man. But, yeah, that's who I think going to win it.
Well, Tom Izzo is my favorite college basketball coach.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, man. That's why I'm always rooting for him.
Oh, okay.
Because I remember Mateen Cleese and Mo Peterson. I remember all that.
Who's y'all top three? Or
top three college
coaches?
Yeah.
What is this based off of, like, personal preference?
Just gonna be personal. I got two
I can think of. Tom Izzo, Roy Williams, Patrick Ewing. No, I'm just playing.
No, I say John Thompson from Georgetown.
That's a good one.
Dean Smith and Tom Izzo. Didn't know Dean Smith was like back in the days, like back during the, you know, like 60s and stuff like that. I didn't know he was like he was an ally, I guess, as Killer Mike would say.
I didn't know Dean.
I watched a documentary on Dean Smith and I didn't know he was such an ally. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, he's in my top just off of that. And then, plus, I used to always root for them whenever they played Duke. So, it was just like, I felt like, even though this is probably not true, but I felt like he always recruited the brothers. And, like, Duke just, you know, didn't recruit the brothers. Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's what everybody felt like.
Yeah, I feel like North Carolina, like, you saw bros in there. Like, the Rasheed Wallaces.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the Duke players wouldn't have got Rasheed Wallace. Like, I feel like North Carolina got those type of guys. You know what I'm saying? The Vince Carters, the Antoine Jamesons, Jerry Stackhouse. Like, I feel like he got the James Worthy. Like, I feel like North Carolina got the bros. So that's why I always kind of liked him. And that's what made me like Dean Smith. And then knowing that he was an ally, I'm like, oh, yeah, he's top three for me.
Yeah, give me the brother from Georgetown, too.
Oh, yeah, Thompson. He took those inner-city kids. Man, he gave them. Like, if they had a last chance, John Thompson was giving them their last chance. And he was on them. Like, he showed them good, tough love.
All black people were rooting for
him, man. Yeah, all black folks were rooting for him, man. So, that's my top.
I like Roy Williams because I can't wait to see him cry. It's coming.
I don't have a top three because I haven't consistently paid attention to college basketball, but I got to shout out Bob Huggins.
Okay.
UC. He was with Kenyon Martin when they went to the Final Four.
Yeah.
I remember Kenyon Martin.
Yeah, he always had a heart attack on the sideline, but he put us on the map. So that was the only time Cincinnati was winning anything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I gotta shout out
him.
I think I like the coach from Georgetown. Thompson? Yeah. That's the only two that I really remember. Really gravitating towards.
Oh, okay.
So black people wanted to go to Georgetown.
Yeah, that was.
I remember that, man.
Yeah,
I'm going to Georgetown. Yep. Yeah. All right. So who you got winning the championship? Going to the championship game.
I like Auburn. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Auburn, and I think. I'm probably going to have to go Michigan State, too. Because at this point,
we going to beat Auburn. We play Auburn. We got Auburn.
I mean, I honestly think y'all should win it all, but at the same time, with college, it's like
you never tell,
you
can,
because it's like because you will put your all. I think really Michigan State put they all into that game, because that was, again, after watching that game, I don't really care about, like, that hit the ceiling for me as far as peak college basketball. Yeah. Right now, you don't know what's gonna happen. Everybody's on the edge of their seat. It's gonna, like, 1 second this team look like they're gonna win, the next team, next play, the other team look like they're gonna win. So they already hit it for me, but I think I think Michigan State gonna take it, but I like Auburn in that game.
Well, it was crazy. I was driving home, and I turned it because Q had texted me. Because he was talking about some big man was had missed, like, cost him 10 points or something like that. You may have known. I don't know who it was. So I was driving home. I just dropped the interns off. I was driving home from the studio. I turned the game on with my phone, and I was in there driving. I was swerving trying to watch the game. I legit almost pulled over to watch the last 30 seconds because I didn't want to hit anything. Because it was that intense. But, all right, so I got going to the finals. I got wait, who do you have in the because we'll actually record it Tuesday after the game's over, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it'll be Monday,
yeah.
So you got Michigan State, who winning it all? Who they're playing against?
I got them going against Auburn.
Okay.
And we're going to beat them. You know what I mean?
All right. I got Texas Tech. I think they got Jarrett Culver. It's supposed to be pretty good. I ain't like what I saw. But, I mean, I'm going Michigan State, man. I think going up against Duke, the competition that Duke had, I think I like them. So, give me Michigan State. And I think they're going to play Virginia.
I wouldn't be mad at Virginia.
I think they're going to – I think – and
but I like to see who they teams they – people – like other teams have beaten to get to their point. And right now, Virginia ain't really – I mean, they had Purdue.
Purdue had no pushover, though.
They wasn't.
Carson Edwards.
Then they had Oregon. I'm like, you look at Auburn, they had Kentucky. They had –
they had a ragamuffin Kentucky team.
They had UNC. They blew them out. At least in my point, they blew them out. Like, they've been a little bit more battle-tested, in my opinion. That's why I picked them, as far as, like, going against, like, ranked teams.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're going to have to beat another number one seed.
Yeah.
Well, Kentucky wasn't the number one seed, but
close to it.
But I think this their year, and I think Virginia's gonna win it.
The whole thing?
I think they're gonna win the whole thing.
Oh yeah, you over here smoking pipes.
I think they're gonna win. I don't know, man. They feel like a team of destiny. They feel like a team of destiny. They came back against Purdue. They struggled early against in their first round matchup. They had to shake that off. And I think even their second game wasn't that easy, but I think they're in their first Final Four, right? Is this his first Final Four? Mm-hmm. I think this is the year, man. I want Tom Izzo to win. I'm pulling for Tom Izzo, and I will be happy if he wins. I just got a feeling that Virginia is going to win this thing if they beat Auburn.
Yeah, Texas Tech just scares me a little bit because they had some solid wins. They beat Michigan, and they topped out Gonzaga, which I thought Gonzaga was going to give them a fight. But, man, Texas Tech worried me a little bit. So, if we get past Texas Tech, I think we can take either Auburn or Virginia. I don't have no worries going into it. Because
Virginia can't score still.
Right, yeah. So I have no worries about Virginia. I'm really more worried about Texas Tech than I am if they – beat them and go up against Auburn or Virginia. So Texas Tech scared me. They've been playing good.
Yeah, I had Texas Tech in the Final Four. Calipari, man. Like, I was shocked when I saw this. Got a lifetime contract with Kentucky?
You got to look at that state. And he probably, like, what, top five as far as highest paying salary in the whole state. What is Kentucky without, you know, his brand? Bringing like all these players, NBA factory.
I mean, look who's been coming through Kentucky since he's been there.
Exactly. Look how many all stars or, you know, even superstar players.
Devin Booker, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Eric Bledsoe,
Anthony Davis.
You know, like, yeah, I mean,
there's a few others too that I'm not even mentioning, but it's just like, why, just like with Nike giving that billion-dollar contract to LeBron, it's like, why not? Like, this is going to be one of your best recruitments to get attention to your state or to your brand.
True. He can go.
Who
else is out
I
there?
I guess the other side of that is, like, what has he done for them lately?
He's been on a bit of a...
He hasn't won anything since 2012. That was the Anthony Davis team.
Yeah.
And he's had some teams since then.
When was the last time he went to the Elite Eight, even the Final Four since then? It's been a minute. I think even the Harris twins, was that 16?
I think the Anthony Towns squad, they went to the Final Four. Anthony Towns, Colin Stein, the other dude, what's his name? He played for Sacramento.
Willie Cauley Stein.
Yeah, Willie Cauley Stein, Devin Booker. Like, I think that team... They went far
Let me see.
Look them up. I think they went far. Because I remember they lost to somebody where I was like, how did they lose to them? I remember they should have beat that squad, Anthony Towns and them. Go ahead.
Nah, I think, you know, it seems a bit absurd, but when you do think about it, they're always in the running. This was a down year for them.
2015 was actually their last Final Four, so I'll take that back.
And was that called Anthony Towns squad? I want to say that was that squad.
I think that probably was. Yeah. The Elite Eight, they was just in it. They were in it this year. I guess I was more talking about Final Four.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like.
The Final Four is tough, though. It's tough to get to the Final
Four. So I guess I'm not going to poo-poo on.
That's still considered a good tournament run to get to Elite Eight.
I'm not going to poo-poo on Calipari. So, I can't really blame him.
Yeah,
for giving that lifetime. It's just when you hear lifetime, kind of like, damn, like, what the hell he do? That's all I always think, like, damn, does he deserve it? And I'm like, if you go through the stats and all that.
Think about where they was at before he got there.
Yep.
And think about where they've been since he's been there. You know what I'm saying? So, damn. And I hate the poo-poo on the brother that was brought there before him. What's his name?
Tubby Smith.
Yeah, like, so.
What other coach could get that type of security?
Coach K?
I mean,
he had it. It's not written down anywhere, but
he got it. Oh yeah,
but he got it. Yeah,
he's staying in Duke. He would be a fool not to.
I feel like Michigan State been trying to find a way to fire Izzo somehow, some way. Because I always hear some type of. It's been like, what was it, a few years ago with that whole scandal?
I think that was the only thing, though. That was the only scandal.
And then this year they getting at him about how he come at the players. I don't know. I just feel like that's
so weird. I still don't understand that.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody else got into it about that too. I think there was somebody else that got earlier in the season that made news for yelling at a player.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime they see that, they're going to be a reaction because they're soft these days. But I think the scandal was the thing with the football and the basketball program.
Mm-hmm.
But he handled that shit like a G.
Oh, yeah, because they real G's moving silence.
Hey, man, he handled that shit like a G. Because he was like, because I think he was like, I think he said he wasn't going to step down. He wasn't going to resign.
Nah.
He was like, nah, if they fire me, they'll fire me. But he did not budge.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't budge at all. I was like, damn, all right, Izzo. All right.
And most coaches, man, most coaches would step down. Most coaches would.
Because they don't want that stain on their resume and none of that.
Right. But he was like, nah, I'm good.
I've been here too long.
Yep. Now he's at the Final Four.
Especially if he win. If they win it.
Boy. Yeah,
and a good decision by the university to say, hey, he did wrong. Yeah. We're going to keep him on board.
Yeah.
You know, and that was it. But so, yeah, I think he got a lifetime contract, you know, with that university. Rick Pitino could have had one, but he just
I know he messed
he
up.
Got that.
He was too loose
I'm
with
sure
it.
Nick Saban, I know that's college football. I'm pretty sure he got a lifetime contract.
Oh yeah, I get yeah.
They're gonna put a statue up for him pretty
soon. They probably got a statue now.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're gonna put a statue up for him.
All right, so well, that's it, man. So tune in next Tuesday. And we'll talk about the results of the championship game.
Yeah, buddy.
So
and I think well, no, it won't have the NBA playoffs by then.
Because they always break it. Yeah.
It'll be the following week. So I was about to say, we talk about the NBA playoffs.
Let's jump to the basketball real quick. So Rookie of the Year and MVP. Do you guys think Rookie of the Year is locked up? Because Trey came on strong.
He's starting to mention the cold.
People are
rookies now. Yeah. They're starting to mention the whole.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's not Luka now anymore like how it was before because – they start comparing. It was crazy because they start comparing like his stats from beginning of season to All-Star break, and then they did Trae Young's stats from
All-Star to now.
It's like the tale of two. Not saying that Lucas is bad now, but it's just like, damn. Like, clearly the first half, Luca was better.
Was peaking.
And then it's like now Trey is peaking. Mm-hmm. So, and they starting to bring up Cole Ricky. When they start bringing that up, and the season's not over yet.
My thing is, will they actually do it? Because last year, could you have made a case for Cole Ricky as well?
Who was the?
Simmons and Mitchell.
Not the way you can this year.
Not the way you can this year.
What's the difference?
I'll say the difference is that
their numbers is damn near identical, though. I mean, I'm talking about this year. Luka, yeah, damn near. I mean, yeah, Luka probably got more rebounds because he's bigger, but.
And these guys have been made into stars already. Trae Young continued his name recognition coming out of college.
Mm-hmm.
Doncic came in with a high profile. Donovan Mitchell grew into his high profile.
Mm-hmm.
When we had Jason Kidd and Grant Hill, they had high profiles coming into the league too.
Because
Jason Kidd played at California, right? Cal, we were hearing about him all the way in Mississippi. We couldn't even watch him play.
Right.
So they came in with high profiles. Donovan Mitchell, he was from Louisville? He came on late.
15 pick.
Yeah. So, but this year, like Trey and Doncic, they were the story coming into the NBA.
And then plus you got throwing an argument too. Like a lot of people was like, okay, is Ben really the rookie of the year? Yep. Because it was.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the argument
I said.
You know
what I'm saying?
Because he redshirted.
So I think because of that talk, you know, like Ken said too, I think this is different. This year is definitely, you literally make a case. Because I was one of them. I was one of them that, like, beginning of the year, you know, like around Christmas time, January, I was like, Luka got it. Luka.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, Luka, it's just, at this point, it's him to lose it. But, man, Trey, man. Gee. And then when I saw him when they played the Pistons, I'm like, yo, this dude here is special.
I saw him when they was playing the Knicks here. And I was like, this. Because I was just paying attention to, like, the intangible, the little stuff. Yeah. I wasn't expecting him to, like, go off for 30 or nothing. He got to the rim so easily. I could tell that. For me, that was when I saw, like, he got a feel of the game.
They got them a star for the next decade or possibly more. Like,
they got to build around him, though. They got to be serious about building
around
him.
They better not mess this up because they got one, man. He can be like that next guy after Dominique as far as, like, when you look at, like, Atlanta Hawks greats.
Yeah, okay, so you
I'm
put.
He can be on that pace. I'm just saying he could be. Like, they better not mess this up. Cause if he improves more than what we seen from him now, Trae Young gonna be special, man. But I can definitely see that Cole Rookie of the Year. They starting to talk that now.
And I think it would be fair. I wouldn't be mad at it.
I wouldn't be either.
I think two questions come to mind. One question comes to mind, and then there's another point I want to add to Trae Young is that the man's also clutch too. He winning games out here.
He did. He has been.
And you know, at the last second. So, you know, he's coming up big in late game moments, man.
That confidence.
Yep. So that's going to go a long way for him. But if we're talking about Trae Young and if we're talking about Luka Doncic, who are we not talking about? We're not talking about Bagley. We're not talking about Ayton. Who was the third pick? Jaren Jackson? Not, I don't know if he was third, but we're not talking about Jaren Jackson.
Who
was he fourth?
Jaren Jackson was in the
let me look it
before.
Up.
I don't think he was in
Jaren Jackson Jr. was this year.
From
the Grizzlies.
Memphis.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know what I'm thinking of? Josh, the dude from.
Oh, Josh Jackson.
Yeah, that's what I think. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're not talking about Jaren Jackson. He got hurt, so he got an excuse. Because who knows how he was playing? Because he was doing okay.
And I think Ayton was like the preseason early favorite to win rookie of the year. Going in, you know, they was like, well, he might do numbers out there in Phoenix, but all we've been talking about
is we not even talking about Ayton. We forgot Ayton even in the league.
Yeah.
And he's playing decent.
Yeah, Jaren Jackson went 4. Bagley went 2. Young was 5.
Bagley was number 2 overall.
Yep, Marvin Bagley
was 3rd.
Luka. Then it was Jaren Jackson. Then it was Trey. Then it was Mo Bamba. Then Wendell Carter, Colin
Sexton. Oh, the Hawks picked Luka. Okay, okay.
And they traded. Remember, they both
scored. Right, okay. So 5 and 3.
We're not talking about any of those
guys. So Jaren got hurt, so he gets a little bit of a pass. Mo Bamba got hurt, so he gets a bit of a pass. But he wasn't starting anyway. But Bagley started to look good late, though. Sacramento, they had so much depth, they didn't really get a chance to play him. But Bagley was putting up numbers. Leighton. He looks like he's going to be a player in this league. And Aiden, he just got buried in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And West Coast time. But he didn't – they didn't really
– So did Bridges, too. Mikael?
Mikael yeah. Bridges? Yeah. He didn't really get a lot of playing time.
I was saying that I wish Philly would have just kept him and tried to develop him. Because I really feel like if they would have done that and he could – well, I've always been critical of Philly's development system, but – I feel like he was, like, a good draft pick for that team. Mm-hmm. But then when they traded him, I was like, I don't know what they did.
But he should have been able to get some PT in Phoenix, and he can't even get on the court. Like, they should be wild.
Well, I mean, you leaving the Philly to go to Phoenix, I'm not going to get any, you know. Yeah. I don't expect you to become Devin Booker because based off their management. But right.
But you still should be able to get PT.
I agree. This should
in
be
in Philly, you're not going to get any PT, mm-hmm. and he didn't. Miles Bridges looks good in Charlotte, too. Now that he's at least 30 minutes a game, so he looks like he's going to be – a contributor to a team. Zaire Smith finally came back for them. That was their pick. And I think he's going to fit in nice with them at the small forward position. Then again, it depends on what happens in the offseason with Butler and, of course, Tobias Harris. Mm-hmm. But I think that also gives them time to develop him if he's going to actually become a player. So because of the trades that they made, even if they kept Mikael Bridges, they couldn't use him anyway.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I didn't know what their plan was as far as the trading, but, like, I thought they were trying to do more homegrown, like a Golden State
I got you. This Kristaps Porzingis thing, man, is – I think you said it best, man. It is weird. I read that story.
Did you see from the article I sent?
The one that Kyle sent. And I'm like, huh?
Exactly. Like, everything I'm saying, I'm like, what the hell is going on?
It's like a bad – and I'm not trying to make light of the situation. We don't know what happened.
Exactly.
You know, these are just accusations. But the story, just the way the story is told, the way the story went down, the way it was written, it's just odd and weird. What happened to her, if the accusations are true, it's terrible.
But that's not even the weird part. To me, the weird part is the parties involved and their interaction with the situation. Because for those who don't know, Kristaps Porzingis is now coming out that he was accused of rape while he was with the Knicks, and all this stuff is now coming forward. But this stuff happened all the way back in like early February, like during Super Bowl week, and the situation is, and I hate this, it deals with a black woman.
Oh, she's black?
It's a black woman, because what happened was
like the chocolate.
Yeah, I think it's
like he like Dirk.
I'm about to say he Dirk in more ways. He like Dirk in more ways than others. But he, I think it was he took her back to his apartment. They had some drinks. At least is the account of what happened. I think from her perspective, he got real aggressive with her when they got back to his apartment. He started punching her, saying things like, "I own you. You're my slave." And then he forced himself onto her, and that's when she says the rape happened. And then after that, the story kind of just goes real left because it's like they still had some kind of contact with each other up until the point where they still were kind of messing around with each other. He even offered to pay for her brother's
that was weird.
College tuition, I guess, to hush her for some hush money. And then somehow she contacted the Knicks during this and tried to get them to mediate some type of settlement or like it's just a lot of things happen. And then as far as the Mavericks standpoint is that we didn't know about this because when we talked to the Knicks, they said it was just to let you know before we trade you to him, someone's trying to extort him. That's what they said. Mm. And they didn't say anything about rape. They said the word rape was not involved with it at all. So I guess that's kind of somehow trying to push this onto the Knicks. But at the same time, with the Mavs, it's like, well, if you hear extorting, why don't you go dig into a little bit deeper than that? Especially if this is a star player, like
especially after what happened with,
especially coming off an injury, like you got you know dot your I's, cross your T's.
Mavs organization with all the stuff that went down with them.
That's the biggest thing on top of that too. Is like y'all just got out of a whole situation where, you know what I'm saying, like that it's on some NFL level stuff, and now you're gonna bring in a star player who just got accused of rape.
Yeah, that's.
It's and then it's.
Do you think the Knicks saw the write on the wall or something like that, man? Like, man.
Well, the one thing, the one thing that has been said is that the NBA was aware of the situation from jump. I think, or as like really early. So like it's been hushed on. That's what I mean. Like all the parties involved. That's what's weird to me is that. You would think that with a story like this, it would have got out, especially in New York.
Right, right.
Early, but it didn't. Does her being a black woman take account to it? Maybe. But at the same time, it's like people from his lawyer, Kristaps Porzingis' lawyer, is saying like she's just trying to get money out of him. She ain't, you know, she's not to be trusted. Basically, lawyer talk. They even got emails and text messages of them going back and forth. Yeah. As far as like still having conversations after the rape happened, it's a weird situation.
It seems like a badly written novel.
to be honest. Yeah.
I mean, and I think the thing, man, is that the part she said the incident took place hours after he tore his ACL. How does that make sense?
Yeah. How does that make sense? Make it make sense.
And his standpoint and what he said was like he said he has an alibi for that night. He said all he did when he got the diagnosis was he went to a bar with him, his brother, I think somebody else. They had a shot of some liquor and then they went back home. That's what he said.
But if he had did he have surgery?
No, I don't think he had surgery.
How can you rape somebody on a bad leg? I mean, you know, I guess you could, but
he's a professional athlete, so he ain't a normal human.
True, but so that don't make sense to me. I need more information on that. The whole thing about paying to make amends for raping her, he agreed to pay the brother's college tuition? That don't make sense. Like $68,000?
Right.
Is that
to set her up? Right, to set, you know, is that what your sister's worth?
Yeah, so that don't make sense either. And maybe he – and she said he just offered. She didn't ask. Okay. All right. But you took it. Cool. So that don't make sense. There's a lot that we don't know. There's a lot written here that's just odd.
I feel like everything's still pending, too.
Yeah,
like,
we're gonna justify this situation here.
Yeah, yeah.
We just going to wait.
Stuff just ain't making sense right. Stuff not adding up right now.
Nah, it's not adding up. I think there's a reason why it wasn't covered by the media today or yesterday when it came out. Woj is changing the game because he got – he got emails and text messages. So – they have documentation of something.
So they gonna be like the feds. As soon as they come out, they gonna come out.
Yeah. So we're gonna start hearing stuff. If Woj has it, Woj just reporting. And so we'll find out what the truth is. Is he being extorted? Did it really happen?
Or is it both?
Yeah. They said the name was misspelled. Now,
yeah, for the check or whatever.
Yeah. So. Look, you said she a black lady. I don't know how many black people can spell Porzingis.
Did they say it had too many S's?
I know, right?
What kind of name is this, Porzingis? Is that with a Z or S? So, you know, it's just weird.
Exactly. We're not trying to be insensitive or anything, but. From what we're hearing, there's a lot of things that are adding up, and we just, you know, we'll wait. We'll sit and wait on it. I think with the whole Jesse situation, I think everybody just like, we going to wait for everything to come out before we say anything.
That's just weird. And, you know, as far as the Knicks, man, they needed to do better. They did.
And when I saw this thing, I was like, I hope there's no blowback on New York like that.
I'll trade his ass back.
And it's just, and that's the thing, like, it's like, damn, we just got.
Here you go, bro. We straight on him. We straight.
We just got out, like, into a good space. And then now to have this story, like, because this is bad publicity on all parties, regardless of what happened in the situation. Like, when you bring in rape and.
Yeah.
And a delayed response attached to that, it doesn't help anybody. And you're trying to bring in free agents, and then you got. Dolan, Bannon, it's like now it's just like, come on, y'all got it. Like, can y'all give me just a whole year where y'all don't do bad shit? And
I think they were responsible by keeping it quiet while everything was pending. I just think when you're trading a player in the Me Too era that has a rape charge against him, you have to let the Dallas Mavericks know.
Especially if this you're trading to an organization that just had a Me Too situation happen.
Exactly. So that's why I think they did that in bad faith. That just wasn't.
But they was thinking like maybe it was already at the finish line. They was just like, yeah, it was just extortion. That's it. Let's get this deal done.
Yeah, but so now who's paying off who? So are the Knicks complicit in the
The Knicks removed themselves after when she reached out to them about mediating a conversation between Kristaps and her as far as how to get some type of settlement. I think the Knicks read some. I think during that emails and texts that they, because I think they saw that stuff too. They were like, you know what, we're gonna remove ourselves. We're not representing Kristaps. He's gonna represent himself. I think they say he chooses to represent himself. I think his lawyer got in at that point. So
I ain't gonna lie, if I was the Knicks and the way Kristaps been talking shit about,
I'd be like, yeah, he ain't.
I would have washed my hands of it too.
I ain't see that nigga since he broke his leg. Right. I don't know what he doing.
He left the country.
I'm about to say, I treated his ass like a unicorn. I don't know where he been at.
He skipped meetings. He didn't want to meet with Phil. He got up out of here. Y'all, but nah, man, yeah. He said that all sex was consensual, and they continue to be together afterwards. So there's just a lot going on here. This article was from The Ringer. You can go read it yourself and make your own determination. I would just encourage you to not pass judgment, to just wait and see what happens, because whatever happened is going to get out, especially when you're dealing with high-profile organizations like this. And that's that, man. So hopefully everything is okay with the victim if it did happen. These are just accusations. We don't know. But nevertheless, based on what I'm reading, it still seems weird. And I'm not saying whether it happened one way or it didn't happen. I'm just saying it just reads weird. That's it. The story. The details. That's it. That's all I got. I don't know what happened. But I know this story seems weird. But anyway, man, the AAF. That's the
football, the American.
It's the Alliance American Football.
American Alliance Football. Something. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Never should have hired Johnny Manziel, man.
That's you stupid.
I'm just saying.
You think you're cursed? Something was fishy. Remember something was wrong when I think the players, they didn't get paid the first week, like the first payroll.
That's right.
Remember that happened? Like something happened with the payroll where they got paid late because the payroll wasn't in on time or something like that. So the first week they didn't even get a damn paycheck. And I think everything just been rocky ever since then, man. Like I remember.
And the biggest quote that I took out of that when I heard about it was the fact that like they could crumble if they don't get support from the NFLPA.
Really?
Yeah, that's the reason why they shut down all operations. I think they don't feel like, and I don't know what support means, but they're not getting that from the NFLPA. And maybe my theory is with that is that maybe that has to deal with because the CBA is coming up. The NFLPA like, we got to focus on this before we deal with y'all. Like, we got to clean up our backyard before we can help clean up y'all's. Like, so that's what I'm thinking, because I think this CBA is going to be huge. I think this is going to be one of the biggest, like, I think this will be a monumental moment for the NFL. I think this will be.
They should.
I think if they don't get guaranteed contracts after this, then I think the NFL will slowly be dying. It will be a dying sport. Because I think at this point, with all this money everybody's seeing, people making, you can't.
Why do you think it'll die?
Because I think the talent level will just go elsewhere. I think
all they can do is play football and catch.
But
and
you
run. Can,
but you seeing like especially nowadays with how these athletes train now, like they play multiple sports regardless. They come play.
Basketball
like you see,
only got so many spots.
Yeah. You see, did you not just see the what's his name? The Heisman Trophy winner was debating on going to baseball than football. Cause he had $4 million right in his hand right there.
But he chose football.
Chose football, but only because his agent said, "I can get you number one."
Mm-hmm. No, I don't see a bunch of brothers going to play baseball. It's too slow.
But they going wherever the money's at. How many times do we see a NBA free agency? Who were the first people to respond outside of the fans? NFL players. They be reacting like, damn, they paid this guy, man, that much.
I'm playing the wrong sport. Yeah.
No, I feel you. When you know, they're looking at other leagues, excuse me. But
And soccer, is soccer starting to build up?
Now, they may start playing soccer. Yeah, I see the brothers out there running around.
I'm just saying, I mean, there's
most
other
parents are getting their kids playing soccer before mine. Football.
Exactly,
now.
Like a lot of other sports are
parents are not getting
are looking
kids
attractive.
Man,
yeah.
We'll turn soccer out, boy. Woo, you get some black folks on boy. The soccer field. Man, we be doing all kinds of crazy.
Just get
kicks
even
and
if
stuff.
We got more black people in the NBA, MLB, like back in how it was
oh,
back
like
in the day.
Ronald Acuna Jr. I don't know if he, man that brother Juan Soto. We got some brothers coming.
I think
up.
The MLB is like one or two black. Stars away from being back.
I'm starting to see them come back, so I hope they come back. But yeah, it's I don't know, man. I never watched it. I wasn't big into it. Most of these leagues never last anyway. And Kaepernick, like you gonna run up there and he asked them for 20,000.
Yeah,
he
asked them 20 million up front.
Bro, they ain't even got it.
They ain't even got $20.
It's Kaepernick on the phone again,
and it just made me think like how the heck Vince McMahon think XFL going to do? You know what I'm saying? Like,
because you need the support of the NFL to do it right.
Do you think people really want that much football though throughout the year?
I think the best someone I think this is off of another podcast, Flagrant Tour, maybe like the best time for them to do it would be the summertime, the lowest part of the sports season. Like, yeah. When only there's, what, baseball and tennis and...
So, pretty much WNBA. Like yeah. Just have it from, like, June, have it from late May to, like,
exactly.
September, late August.
When everybody's just looking for something to watch anyway. And I think their biggest pro was the fact that they're doing, like, they're letting you hit. Because like, I seen some of the highlights, they was letting them
oh,
boys
yeah,
hit.
AAF, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, if you want to see that, and it'll be good weather, and if it's in some good cities, you know, people will travel.
So, this was part of the NFL?
They were in talks of it. I don't
NFL
think it was a
NFL backing.
Because
you said the NFL PA, I didn't know the NFL had anything to do with it.
Well, that's why it's the PA. I don't think it's really like the NFL per se, but they needed some type of support. I guess they needed reason for other players to come to the league. Because those players are the ones like, bro, this could be my second chance, you know. Mm-hmm. This could be a shot for me to, you know, to really make a change and make some money.
I thought it was going to be like the development league of football.
I think
like,
that's what they wanted. That's what they wanted to be. But if you don't have, you know, real NFL players or teams supporting it, then it's like, oh, this is just a glorified – this is just a league that's on TV sometimes. Mm-hmm. Especially if we ain't getting paid. I damn sure ain't about to quit my job or sacrifice my body for $20,000 or whatever they was trying to charge.
Yeah. Damn. Well, we'll see. I know the NFL fans are probably out there happy, gleeful right now. So we'll see. Two more things, and then we'll get out of here. Well, one more. What's up with Derek Carr? Because I missed that story today.
He's been overhearing, like, I guess their draft strategy war room. Mm-hmm.
Really?
And I think I don't think he likes him. That they're like, talks of drafting a QB, making some moves.
Kyler Murray came for a workout.
Yeah, Kyler Murray's been working out with a lot of
what's
teams.
What's the greatest draft spot?
Took a picture with Marcus Allen. I think that was Marcus
Allen.
They
got the top four.
Yeah, number four. Yeah, because I think
it was that bad.
Yeah, it was number one is Arizona. Number two is San Francisco. Three is the Jets. Four is the Raiders. Five, I want to say, is
so you think they might
Tampa.
Be talking about getting Kyler Murray?
Somebody.
Kyler Murray?
Because if you think about it, what is John Gruden really doing? He's really trying to clear as much cap space as possible, get as many draft picks, because what's next year's draft? Next year's draft is supposed to be as big as, you know, previous drafts. Where, you know, you got Tua, you got Sunshine, you got other QBs that may be coming out too. Mm-hmm. Everybody's tanking right now, taking the basketball. Like, people saying the reason why the Giants are – so hell bent on keeping Eli's like they want to tank for another season to get
Tua. Tua is what they call it.
Yeah, everybody's want to tank for Tua.
Damn, because he's gonna be a junior this year, right?
Mm-hmm. He'll be eligible after he's
a
sophomore. Yeah.
This past year.
Mm-hmm.
Damn,
he gonna make it through the season. They gonna break his ass.
Think so?
I mean, I think he has motivation to come back stronger next year.
But I'm just saying, I don't know if he gonna hold up.
It's Alabama. They got to get. They'll get a good cast around him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they've been showing, and I think he tweeted something where it was just him having this, like pretending like he was like looking at the Raider, like saying I see you. Mm. So I don't know.
I know.
He be throwing to Antonio Brown his rookie year.
I know he whoever they draft, yeah, they will. But I know Derek Carr wanted to throw an AB.
Yeah, I know.
He wanted to get those stats up.
They've been working out together already.
AB working with whoever. Look,
say what you want to say about AB.
That boy worked out.
That dude is a workaholic. Follow him on Snapchat. Man, that dude is a hard worker. Like, it's almost like, man, who trains like
exactly,
that?
Exactly, yeah.
He's like. You can't deny that part of his.
That's why he's number one. I mean, yeah. I would expect it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So like, say what you want to say about all the drama and him getting the golden mustache. Like that dude works, and if he still ball and put up numbers like he is this season with Carr, man, that's crazy. Yeah, you can't deny that man work his work ethic.
Nah, yeah, I remember when I was on Snapchat heavy like that. Y'all can follow me on Snapchat, by the way, even though I don't post like I used to. But and I saw like every day he was doing something. I was like, God damn
yeah,
what the
I
hell
know.
Is going on?
It was like no off days with that guy, None. Like, I respect that.
I did.
Regardless of what people say, I mean, T.O. was the same way. T.O. was a workaholic. Mm-hmm. Like, say what you want to say about if you see got drama in the locker room, but that dude works.
They perfect their craft.
Yeah, man. Like, say what you want to say about Floyd Mayweather. Like, that guy works when he trains. I seen him train like he broke, and that dude is the highest paid boxer athlete. And that
with no endorsements,
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that's. I respect athletes like that, man. When they just train day in, day out, and they already the most accomplished guys, man. Like, that's crazy.
So with that being said, I think you're gonna see a lot of. I think you're probably gonna see so many trades in the draft. Like on draft day.
This upcoming draft
coming
up?
I think so. I think like as soon as
the team's gonna be willing to deal.
I think the Raiders will be like, all right, who won Carr? Give me something. Give me a first rounder.
I remember when I was saying that a couple of weeks ago, but he and FIFA arguing me down.
Because I was like, man, you giving the kitchen sink away
sure
too?
Did.
I'm like,
sure
goddamn.
Did.
Like,
Sam,
it sure
did. I'm too old to say I told you so. Because I know y'all old enough to know when I told you so.
where they saying old boy from Ohio State going?
Haskins?
Still the Giants.
They still saying the Giants, but they don't know. Nobody knows. They say some team.
Do you think the Giants should get him this year? Or you think they should tank for Tua?
I like him. I like him a lot, especially since you're already at six.
Yeah.
Like, you're already up there. You're not guaranteed to be up there again. That's what most draft experts say. Like, you're not guaranteed to be as high as you are in other years and at this specific time where you could get somebody. Mm-hmm. So you might as well utilize that. And you got somebody at number 17 too. Or you have another first round pick at 17.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like so maybe you can, you know, trade up to get them or, you know, just to secure them, cuz at the end of the day, these draft picks is like, these are all potential anyway. It's not really a 50-50 thing as far as hit and miss.
Right,
you could be like, you could miss on all your picks in 1 year, you know, or you could hit on all your picks in 1 year. It's just so random that it's like, if you got a guy that you really like that you think can be successful, which I think he can be, just go ahead and get him. And I think that's what should happen. Now, if you're telling me that they're tanking and they'll try to shore up the offensive line, defensive line before we get Tua or somebody else, then I could deal with that because – what's two more years of sucking to get, you know, to be like, what is it, like Cleveland is this year. They've sucked for so long, and now they are Super Bowl contenders, which makes you forget about all that other stuff.
Super Bowl contenders on paper?
On paper, yeah, okay. On paper. Okay. As far as the squad, like, right now, all they missing is a good head coach.
Yeah. Damn.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they should take Haskins. Y'all know I'm high on.
I'm not trying to be married to that pick because, like, if he don't get there, I don't want to be pissed off. But at the same time, like, that boy's right there.
I think he'll fall in their lap.
And he's from Jersey too. It just seems like it's meant to be.
It makes so much sense, but I have a feeling they're just not gonna do it.
But then I also think that, again, this is going back to what Jay Glazer was saying, like, when it comes to these draft, like, don't believe anything, like, 5% of all the stuff. Because people will tell you we ain't going to get him just so you don't mess with him.
And then they end up picking him.
Exactly.
Mind games.
Kyler Murray. I think he's better than Kyler Murray, but we'll see.
Yeah, you've been high on Haskins.
Man. I have, man. I like that.
I mean, you throw 50 touchdowns, 8 interceptions against ranked teams, defense. Like, to me, they always say, like, their biggest knock against him is that his footwork and the fact that he's not as mobile as they want him to be. Who gives it? If you have a good line, you ain't supposed to be moving like that anyway.
Right. But you know what? I'll tell you what Colin used to say about Sam Darnold, or it was somebody else. I think it was Josh Allen. They used to say this about Josh Allen. They said, yeah, that's with the coaching in Buffalo, I think, wherever he went.
Right.
He said, yeah, but when he get to the NFL, he's going to have NFL coaching, so they'll be able to fix all that. Where is that at? Don't nobody saying that about Haskins.
Right.
You know, it's just an excuse not to pick him. But you wanted to find a reason why Josh Allen would be better in the NFL, because he'll get NFL coaching. I think the Giants will give him good coaching as well. But we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. That being said, well, I mean, I don't know, man. I was going to ask about Josh Rosen, but I think I still want to see this play out a little bit more, because he and that brother's in a tough spot, and I don't know what they're going to do about that. Almost at this point, they got no choice but to take Kyler.
But who would pay? Because they want to get a first-round pick for Josh Rosen, right?
Who?
Arizona.
That's what the – Really?
I think.
Is that reported, or that's?
Well, because there's been a report that the Giants offered a second round for Josh Rosen.
What?
And that deal hasn't been solidified. Or it could still be in talks, but it hasn't. Damn. It's not a. But it's just like, y'all just had. Like, to me, it's like if you just buy a car, new car.
Right.
And then 9 months later, you're like, all right, I don't want it no more. I'm going to give it to whoever, you know, give me whatever amount of money that's like half the asking price that I even pay for it. You'd be like, hold on, what the hell is wrong with this car?
That's crazy, man.
Yeah. It's like, it's damaged goods. Like, why would the same GM that drafted him, the same GM that's trying to trade him, is like, well, then what the hell is going on with him?
Exactly. So, you know, because you made a bad decision last year and drafted him, or you thought he was your guy, and now you see something that sets you that you like, you want to get rid of him. I'm not going to give you a first-round pick for that.
Hell no. If AB's going for a third and a fifth, I'm damn sure not giving you – I don't even know why I hope the Giants didn't offer a second, because it's like
– Not only that, why am I going to help you make up for your mistake or for your bad decision by giving you a first? You're the one that decided to trade all those picks to go get this guy to be your future. And you're the one that's giving up on him because you done went and hired a coach that couldn't win in college football. With Patrick Mahomes. So nah, what I think you're gonna do with Kyler Murray? Is Kyler Murray gonna make you a better coach? Because you had Patrick Mahomes and he was the MVP, and you can win. So what are you gonna do in the NFL when everybody's good?
And that's why I'm like, shoot, Kyler Murray probably be like, man,
the
I hope
the worst team in the NFL is better than the best team in the college. So I don't know. The last thing I guess we'll table this is But it's news. Russell Wilson gave the Seahawks a deadline for a new deal. Now, I did kind of jump back on that one. I was like,
yeah, wow. he gave him tax day deadline. He said April 15th.
Wow. So yeah. that was shocking to see.
Now, if we're talking about the Giants giving up a pick, boy, I'll give up a lot to get that boy.
That would be worth it. That would be worth it. And I think the Giants.
But I think it says more, like, what's up with Seattle? Like, dude,
maybe they're gonna.
Do they want to blow it up?
Maybe they're gonna follow your formula. Maybe they don't believe Russell was the man that everybody thought he was. Maybe it was Marshawn Lynch and the defense. We're about to find out.
It's kind of too late to be saying maybe we should have run the ball. Like you way past that now.
If they don't give him a deal and let him go, that's what they were saying. Mm-hmm. We should have ran the ball.
Yeah, if you don't have a deal by. If by end game, if you don't got a deal by the time I watch end game, it's over
what
for them.
What's he gonna do if they don't pay up? If they don't give him a deal, what's he gonna do?
What do you mean? What he gonna do? He can force a trade.
What happened, April? Oh, he's gonna pull the Antonio Brown. He's gonna.
He might have to. He'll have more leverage than AB.
Draw a mustache.
right.
He gonna take a hell out.
He gonna start twisting his hair up. Start showing his black side.
Coming to look, looking like Marshawn.
Yeah.
Oh man. Anyway. All right, man. Well, that's it. That's gonna do it for us this week, man. Catch us next Tuesday. We We'd be trying to do it at 8:30 and 9, but we'd be running late with Dad in Gaming. But yeah, catch us next Tuesday right here, and subscribe to the podcast, listen to this podcast, and share the podcast, and leave us your comments in the comment section, and let us know what are your top five point guards of all time, not in the current NBA, all time. We'll catch you guys next week. We out. Peace.
Peace.